orders and weren't strangers to mayhem.
Okay, Harbin told them. Tonight, we even the score. Tonight, we hit Fuchs' warehouse and clean it out once and for all.
I got a better idea, said Santorini.
Harbin felt the old anger simmering inside him. Santorini had the intelligence of a baboon.
What is it?
You want to get even with Fuchs? Why don't we do his wife?
The others all grinned at the thought.
Are these the best that Diane could hire?
Harbin asked himself.
Or did somebody in her office merely scrape a few barroom floors and send these specimens here to Ceres?
Our orders are to leave her strictly alone, he said sharply.
Those orders come from the top. Don't even go near her, understand? Anybody who even looks in her direction would be in deep shit, is that clear?
Somebody up there likes her, one of the lunks said.
Somebody up there's got the hots for her,
agreed the goon next to him. Harbin snarled.
That somebody will fry your testicles and feed them to you in slices if you don't follow orders. Our job is to hit the warehouse. We go in, we do the job, and then we leave. If we do it right, you can all go back to Earth with the big fat bonus in our accounts.
Plenty of slash back home.
Yeah, especially if you got money. Harbin let them think about how they were going to enjoy their bonuses. Get them away from thinking about Fuchs's wife. Diane had been very specific about that. She is not to be harmed or even threatened. Not in any way, shape, or form. The warehouse was something else.
Where the hell have you been? Humphreys snapped.
Fervord allowed herself a small smile. I took a long lunch. A victory celebration.
The whole damned afternoon?
Humphreys was sitting in the mansion's dining room, alone at one end of the long rosewood table, the remains of his dinner before him. He did not invite his assistant to sit down with him.
I expected you here as soon as the hearing ended.
You got the news without me, she said coolly. In fact, you knew how the hearing would turn out before it ever started, didn't you? His frown deepened. You're pretty damned sassy this evening.
Fuchs is on his way back to Ceres, she said. By the time he gets there, he won't have a warehouse. His company will be broke, he'll be ruined, and you'll be the king of the asteroid belt.
What more do you want? She knew what he wanted. He wanted Amanda Cunningham Fuchs. For that, though, it won't be enough to ruin Fuchs, she thought. We'll have to kill the man.
Humphreys's frown dissolved slowly, replaced by a sly smile. So, he asked, what are you doing for sex now that you've sent your soldier boy off to Ceres?
Fervord tried to keep the surprise off her face.
The sneaking bastard has been keeping me under surveillance.
You bugged his quarters? She said coldly.
Grinning, Humphreys said, would you like to see a replay?
It took her a moment to get her emotions under control. Finally, she managed to say, he's an interesting man. He quotes Persian poetry.
In bed?
Still standing, Fervord stared down at him for a long moment, then conceded the point with a curt nod, thinking, he probably has my apartment bug, too. Does he know about Bandung Associates?
But Humphreys seemed more amused than annoyed. I have a proposition for you. Guardedly, she asked.
What kind of proposition?
I want you to bear my child. She could feel her eyes go round.
What?
Laughing, Humphreys leaned back in the cushioned dining room chair and said, well, you won't go to bed with me. The least you can do is carry my child for me.
She pulled out the chair closest to her and sank slowly into it. What are you saying? She asked.
Almost offhandedly, Humphreys said, I've decided to have a child, a son. My medical experts are picking the best possible egg cells for me to inseminate. We're going to clone me. My son will be as close to me as modern biological science can make him.
Human cloning is outlawed, Fervord murmured.
In most nations on Earth, Humphreys conceded, but Even on Earth, there are places where a man of means can have himself cloned. And here in Selene, well, why not?
Another little Martin Humphreys, Fairford thought, but said nothing.
The cloning procedure is still a bit dicey, he went on, as casually as a man discussing the stock market. But my people should be able to produce some viable, fertilized eggs and get a few women to carry them.
Then why do you want me?
He waved a hand. Well, you're a very good physical specimen. You ought to make a good home for my clone. Besides, it's rather poetic, don't you think? You won't have sex with me, but you'll bear my son. That boy toy of yours isn't the only one with a poetic soul.
I see, Fairford said, feeling slightly numbed by his cheerful arrogance.
What I need is several wombs to carry the zygotes to term. I've decided you'd be perfect for the job. Young, healthy, and all that.
Me.
I've gone through your medical records and your family history, Humphrey said. You might say that I know you inside out.
She was not amused.
You carry my son to term, he said, his smile fading, his tone more commanding. You'll get a very sizable bonus. I'll even transfer a couple more of my asteroids to your Bandung associates.
The pit of her stomach went hollow.
Did you think you could embezzle 3 very profitable asteroids from me without my finding out about it? Humphreys asked, grinning with satisfaction.
Fairford knew it was hopeless. She felt glad that she had Doric on her side.
As they pulled up their convoy of 4 mini-tractors to the entrance of the Helvetia warehouse, Harbin saw that there were only 2 people on duty there, and one of them was a woman, gray-haired and grandmotherly, but with a hard, scowling face. She was stocky, stumpy, built like a weightlifter.
"What do you guys want?" she demanded as Harbin got down from the lead tractor.
"Don't give us a hard time, grandmother," he said gently. "Just relax and do what you're told."
A face-to-face job like this was far different from shooting up spacecraft in the dark emptiness of the belt. That was like a game. This was blood.
"Be still," he commanded silently. "Don't make me kill you."
But he felt the old rage building up inside him, the manic fury that led to death.
"What are you going to do here?" the woman repeated truculently. "Who the hell are you, assholes?"
Working hard to keep his inner rage under control, Harbin waved his undisciplined team into the Helvetia warehouse. They all wore breathing masks. Nothing unusual in the dusty tunnels of Ceres. They also wore form-fitting shower caps that had been ferried in all the way from Earth. With the caps on, no one could see a man's hair color or style. Harbin also made certain none of his crew had any name tags or other identification on themselves. If Tracy Buchanan had taken that simple precaution, he would undoubtedly still be alive now, Harbin thought.
"What's this goddamn parade of tractors for?" the woman demanded.
She was wearing a breathing mask, too. So was the skinny kid standing a few paces down the shadowy aisle of tall shelves.
"We're here to empty out your warehouse," Santorini said, strutting up to her. "What the hell do you mean?"
the woman asked angrily, reaching for the phone console. Santorini swatted her to the floor with a backhand smack. The kid back in the stacks threw up his hands in the universal sign of surrender.
"Come on," Santorini said, waving to the rest of them.
Harbin nodded his approval. They started to move in. The kid stood absolutely still, frozen in terror from the look on his ashen face. Santorini kicked him in the stomach so hard he bounced off the shelving and collapsed, groaning, to the floor.
"How's that for martial arts?"
Santorini shouted over his shoulder as the others revved up the mini-tractors and trundled into the warehouse, raising billows of black dust.
"Swaggering little snot," Harbin thought, looking at the woman Santorini had knocked down.
Her lip was bloody, but the look in her eyes proclaimed pure, malevolent fury. She struggled to her feet, then lurched toward the phone console. Harbin grabbed her by one shoulder.
"Be careful, grandmother. You could get hurt."
The woman growled and swung her free fist into Harbin's temple. The blow surprised more than hurt him, but it triggered his inner anger.